You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wednesday here on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter joined by Ray Fittipaldo. We're going to go over some of Ray's draft analysis, including our new official big board that we've released from all the work we've done in the Steelers department at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That and the recent cuts the Steelers have made, all here on an action-packed episode of the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports, from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo talking at you here. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as the daily content that comes from all of our sports writers. We just had on Jeff Hathorn joined Brian Batko for Chip Hammond Football on Tuesday. Go check that out in all the places you can get our podcast. And as always, our show is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local, 80 of those local beers available on tap. It's the best place to go to when you're looking for a good brew in the burg. All right. As you can see, we're in different situations. I'm in an Airbnb on the road as I'm with Noah Hiles getting ready to cover Pitt versus Virginia. It's for some Tuesday night ACC basketball. So pardon our dust as my surroundings are a little, you know, darker as far as the lighting is working right now. And my sound might be a little bit different, but you know, we work with what we got on the road. There's plenty of times I've recorded with Ray while he's on the road, so it's a little bit of a turnaround for us. But Ray, wanted to ask you, you recently did an analysis piece for the PG talking about the misses that they've had that have kind of put them in the position that they are, that being Steelers in recent years. What did you see with the biggest culprit as far as the things that they have not been able to put together to have a more complete roster at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, with Chukwu Okorafor being released on Monday night, Chris, no one from the 2018 draft class remains. He was the last guy standing. And, I know Mason Rudolph might re-sign, but he's not currently on the roster. He's set to explore free agency. So there's no one left from 18. There's one player left from 19. That's Deontay Johnson. And there's one player left from 20. That's Alex Highsmith. So for a team that prides itself in drafting and developing players, you're not getting that retention rate that you would normally get, you know, when you're having success in the draft. You know, Terrell Edmonds, first round pick in 2018. They don't pick up the fifth year option. He's here for 5 years, but they don't want to do business with him long term. Devin Bush, obviously, disastrous. So what happens there is you're forced to spend money in free agency to make up for those mistakes. Cole Holcomb, Elandon Roberts, Quan Alexander, all those guys were signed last year because you missed on Devin Bush. The last couple of years, you got and signed DeMonte Casey and Keon O'Neill in back-to-back years because you didn't want to sign Edmonds to a second contract. So that's kind of the vicious cycle that they're in right now. You know, Chris, when you count on free agency to fill your holes, I think there's an inherent risk in that too, because you don't know those players as intimately as you know the players that you develop. So they're in a bad cycle now. They got to get out of it. And listen, Omar Khan and Andy Weidel had a good first off season. I think they're going to have a good second off season to sort of make up some ground here to, you know, to make up for some of those mistakes.
They do. And there's been other guys that they've brought in who have definitely been helpful, you know, whether later or even undrafted. You think about guys like Herbig in the fourth round last year. Connor Hayward's been a decent sixth round addition. Jalen Warren, an undrafted guy. But like you said, like, they're like, you look at the Chiefs and the way that they play, there's a lot of guys on the field that were contributing for them who were low round draft picks who just, you know, stuck around. And here's the other part of this is that oftentimes those players play better when they have better players around them kind of setting the tone. And like, you think back to some of the Steelers offensive lines in the 2010s where they had Kelvin Beachum, who was a seventh round pick, or Villanueva, who was, you know, just a free agent pickup. They were able to kind of be who they were. Ramon Foster also undrafted because the Steelers had stalwart guys at center, at guard, with Pouncey and DeCastro and even Gilbert for a time. So you had centerpieces on the offensive line that were able to help with that. I think the Steelers need more guys like that on all levels, you know, in the cornerback room. Joey Porter Jr., he could be one of those guys, but you need to figure out, will Corey Trice be the cornerback across from, or will you have to invest big to get to double up there? But I do think that there is an importance in making sure that you're hitting in at least some of your later round picks. It's natural to miss even most of your late round picks. That's just going to happen over time. It's just the odds of the NFL draft. But like you said, you're talking about several years now where those misses have stacked up, and there hasn't been a big splash late round pick that has really changed things around for the Steelers in years.
Yeah, and listen, you look at Omar's first offseason last year, really good draft. You just went over it, but they also had a record number of free agent signings, including guys like Isaac Seumalo, Patrick Peterson, and others, to fill holes for guys who didn't work out, right? So Artie Burns doesn't work out. Okay, we got to draft Joey Porter. We got to go sign Patrick Peterson because that draft pick didn't pan out. I mean, you can go back. I went back. I mean, the succession plan for Ben Roethlisberger, you look at the way the Green Bay Packers attacked it, you know, they drafted their guy. Mm-hmm. There were maybe some hard feelings there with Aaron Rodgers, but they're in much better position now to contend in the NFC than the Steelers are to contend in the AFC. So that set the Steelers back. You go out and sign Mitch Trubisky. You know, he made over $14 million here, and he won two games. That's $7 million a win for Trubisky. But there are others. You know, what was the succession plan for Heath Miller? Ladarius Green.
Yeah, he got hurt, and then he never really played well.
Four-year, $20 million contract, Chris. He dressed for six games. And I know they didn't pay him all of that, but, you know, there's a big signing bonus.
No, I get you.
In there, and there was 1 year of salary in there. But when you draft and you miss, you got to make up for it with keen signings in free agency. When you miss on both, that's when your roster kind of gets to the point where the Steelers are now. And they're still a good football team because of guys like T.J. Watt and others. They've, you know, they're still – contenders, so to speak, even though I don't know that they're Super Bowl contenders, but they're playoff contenders. But they're, I don't want to say they're in a bad spot now, but they're in a tough spot now because of some of the misses that, you know, transpired here in the final 5 years before Khan took over as GM.
Absolutely. It's going to be a challenge to try to fix some of the situations that have kind of developed for their roster right now. And that's also kind of part of, you know, what the Steelers have been going through when they lost a lot of their better players. You know, when you lost, like, you know, 2 years or two seasons ago, when you lost TJ Watt for a huge part of the time, they didn't have the depth behind him to address that. Now, this year they did. You know, they had Marcus Golden, they had Nick Herbig, they had guys who could help whenever TJ Watt was either injured or, you know, just not, you know, teams were double and triple teaming him and taking him out, trying to take him out of the game. They had other answers there. But I agree with you. They have to find other guys that are going to fit those. And I want to talk about some of those other guys as we have now completed our first edition of an interactive big board from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where myself, Ray, and Brian Batko put together our heads, and we put down our top five at each of the different positions the Steelers are going to be looking at in the draft. We'll talk about some of those prospects here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, stick with us. But first, we'll remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you're going to Mike's Beer Bar, you're going there because they're right in the North Shore. It's a beautiful part of town. And also, you get to try one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area. 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And they're always switching new ones in and out, so you'll never run out of new experiences when you go to Mike's Beer Bar. Plus, they have over 20 televisions, so whatever sporting event that you want to watch while there, they're going to be able to get on the tube. You can even reserve ahead of time a TV and a table so that you and your friends can enjoy whatever sporting event that you want to watch. Also, they have amazing food like their steak on a stone, where you can get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. And as each time you cut off a piece of that steak, precedence that stone, and you choose how well done you want every bite of steak. It's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. Again, apologies for any audio or video quality issues on my end, because I'm on the road here on an Airbnb in Charlottesville, Virginia, as we get ready to take on Pitt, take on Virginia for some ACC basketball. But Ray, we released our first ever interactive big board for the PG, where you, me, and Brian, we put our heads together. We split up the different position groups to tackle. I think Ryan kind of went skill players on offense. You went offense and defensive line. And then I went linebackers and secondary and punters for this draft class. But I want to focus on where the one position that I think everyone's going to be talking about the most this year, and that's going to be center. You had your centers ranked: Jackson Powers Johnson, then Zach Frazier of West Virginia, Grant Barton of Duke, Cedric Van Pran of Georgia, and then Bo Limmer of Arkansas. So, I think that you look at these names and these are all recognizable. Graham Barton, an interesting different kind of player, because he played a lot of tackle and, can probably switch to center here. But to me, when I look at this, Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier are the two most dominant centers in this group. What is the risk the Steelers run if they don't take one of these guys in the first round and try to hope that he's there for their second round pick, of not getting them and maybe having to settle for someone else?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fairly big risk. I don't know if they view it as a risk, because they might feel like this is a really deep group of centers, and they might feel like they can, the third or the fourth ranked center might be just as, good. So we don't have a great feel for, what they're thinking right now. But, I saw a recent mock draft where I think the Jaguars pick at 17 or 18, Chris, and they had Jackson Powers Johnson went to the Jaguars before the Steelers even get to pick at number 20. And we all know, if you wait till pick number 51, where the Steelers sit in the second round, you're also taking your chances on Zach Frazier not being there. At one point, before we didn't have any clarity on his injury, I thought, oh, maybe that'll push him down the draft boards, but he was out there at the Senior Bowl. He was doing a little bit of work. Word is he's going to do some stuff at the combine. So he seems like he's ahead of schedule with that leg injury. Doesn't seem like it's going to be an issue for him as far as OTAs or training camp goes. So that's a plus for him, but I don't know if it's a plus for the Steelers, who pick at 51. I think, somebody else might jump on him before they do in the second round.
That's where I think it could be really tricky, is that the Steelers might be in a position where if they want to fix the center position in the draft this year, they might have to make an aggressive play to either make sure they get Jackson Powers Johnson in the first, or if they don't, you have to find a way to get Zach Frazier, because listen, I think Grant Barton, he could work out, But how many times have they taken an offensive lineman who they've hoped to convert now to another spot on the line, whether it was Kevin Dotson flipping from one guard to the other, whether it was Kendrick Green flipping from guard to center, or Dan Moore Jr., they want him to play right tackle, but he can't flip out of it, so he sticks at left tackle. So that kind of forces Broderick Jones to go from left tackle to right tackle. It just seems like that's become, you know, an issue with the Steelers recently. And to me, one way that you can kind of solve it at one position is making sure you get a guy that you have no doubt is your stalwart center of the future.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Zach Frazier didn't get injured in November, he might have pushed Jackson Powers Johnson for that top center spot. I mean, Powers Johnson has the, he's fortunate to be able to play in the Senior Bowl, and he played so well the first 2 days that he shut it down after his minor hamstring injury. And he's like, I'm good. I know I'm the best center in the draft, and I'm gonna sit on that here until draft day. Frazier didn't have that luxury. He was there. He went through the interviews and all that stuff, but he couldn't show what he can do on the field. And he's not going to get that, do that at the combine either. You know, they don't, it's football and shorts at the combine. It's workouts. It's not going up against the other best seniors in the country like Powers Johnson got to do. So, I mean, I don't see Powers Johnson getting knocked off, you know, his perch as the top center, but I do think if Frazier didn't have that unfortunate injury that, you could have like 1A and 1B there. Going into this draft.
Absolutely. Let's take another look at one of the spots that you evaluated on the offensive line, and that was offensive tackle. You kind of took away some of the top guys out there that could be picked. I think like the you had their guys, some of these guys in here. So you kind of went above and beyond with 10 players on your big board. You had J.C. Latham at number one here. Can you break down between Latham, Mims, Alt, and Fashanu? Those are guys in your top five. Which of those seem like the more reasonable that the Steelers might be able to actually target? Because tackle is one of those big prospect positions that people will spend big on.
Yeah, so the idea for this Post-Gazette big board is we want it to fit what the Steelers need. And J.C. Latham might be the best overall offensive lineman in this draft. He's a powerful run blocker. He's really good in pass protection. I don't see a lot of holes in his game. And to make it better for the Steelers, he's a right tackle. So if you're going to move Broderick Jones to left tackle, you bring in Latham to play right tackle, and that solves a lot of your problems. And you got two bookends for the next decade if those guys stay healthy. So that was my thinking with having Latham number one on my board. Number one, I think he might be there. I know this is a great year for offensive linemen, so you never know where these guys are going to come off the board. But, you know, you think about Joe Alt, you always see him in the top 10. And, Fashanu, kind of like what, top 10, top 8, top 12, that sort of range. You know, Latham, you see him anywhere from like 13 to 18 to 20, he could slip there. And if he slips, I would be very tempted to take him over Powers Johnson if it was between those two. I think that guy is that good when I watch him. So that was kind of my thinking there. I know I went over all the other tackles and how they fit, but I think ideally for the Steelers, I think if Latham is there, it would be an excellent pick.
So Latham in that class, in the class of guys like Alt and Fashanu, who were, if they fall far enough that you think the Steelers should take him, If it's Jackson Powers Johnson versus, say, Amarius Mims of Georgia or Talaiz Fuaga of Oregon State, because those are two other guys that you have in the top, are those guys also who you take over center, or are they kind of, is that more of an even split there with their talents?
Yeah, I just have such a high opinion of Latham that I kind of put him above those guys. So, I mean, you know, Powers Johnson or, the kid from Oregon State or, the others, Mims that you mentioned, Mims, I don't want to call it issues, but he doesn't have a ton of playing experience, right?
Very raw.
That's something that you would have to get comfortable with, I guess. So what you're going to see here, we're going to talk about it for the next 2 months. If you're the Steelers and you're sitting at 20, we've heard talk about 8 offensive tackles going in the first round. If the top 4 or 5 off are off the board, do you go for number 6? mean, that number six, or do you go for the number one center? I mean, it's a healthy debate. You know, certain teams in the league value tackles more than centers. I mean, the Steelers haven't been afraid to use high picks on centers. They, you know, they did it with Marquise Pouncey more than a decade ago. I thought that worked out well. But, you know, I think it's just something that, you know, we're going to have to pay attention here to here in the coming weeks and months. I don't know if it's going to come down to that. They might surprise us all and take a corner or defensive lineman. But, you know, that could be something on draft night that's worth monitoring.
Absolutely. It will be something worth monitoring, and we'll be monitoring it to move forward. And you're right. That's always a debate every year. You know, do you take, you know, the first, you know, player at such a one position versus the sixth player at another, if you think that that player is maybe even better on, you know, in talent and on your big board. And I think that's where the trickiness of the draft comes, is when we're all evaluating. We all have who we think. Like, you think Jason Latham's the top tackle. You know, the Steelers could think that, or they could think another player. And that's where all this stuff becomes very interesting. Like, if you think back, you know, Creed Humphrey was the 14th offensive lineman taken in his draft class year, and now he's, you know, one of the best centers in football, and a two-time Super Bowl champion. So, you know, there's certain challenges with that we're going to look and see, like, you know, which guys are worth it. But either way, we will keep you up to date with all of that. And one way to keep track of our rankings of different positions is going in and looking at our Steelers draft big board for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find that on our website, post-gazette.com. We've all posted it and linked it on our Twitter profiles as well. So do check that out to see all of our position rankings, because Brian and I also chipped in with a lot of the players there. So we have a lot more to evaluate. But the Steelers also made some cuts and one extension of a coach. We'll talk about that on the other side here of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi will be right with you.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, breaking things down. All right, Ray, so the Steelers made some moves. Granted, these weren't surprising moves. These were moves that you and I talked about, saying that this was these things were probably coming. They let go Chukwuma Okorafor, they let go Presley Harvin and Mitch Trubisky, all three guys who, you know, underperformed, weren't playing up to the money that they were being paid or would be paid for this next season. What was your reaction just to seeing this done now at this point, at this part of the year? Because, you know, sometimes it's always a question, when are they going to start making those moves? It seems like this was the first of what might be a few more moves to clear out salary cap space.
I wasn't surprised at all with the players. I was surprised with the timing, but again, Chris, it's a new regime, and they're going to do things differently than Kevin Colbert did. You know, Kevin Colbert would wait until maybe a week before free agency before he made his cuts. And now they're doing it a month before. I mean, I don't know what the reason is for that, but that's how they want to do business. I've heard it said that, you know, they'll get a jump on free agency, but you can't negotiate contracts until that 3-day period before the new league year starts. So, you know, no surprise at all. We all knew Okorafor was gone once he lost his job to Jones. And same thing with Trubisky. He fell to number three on the depth chart. They weren't going to have him back. You know, Harvin now, you know, you're going to have what? Two new punters in there at OTAs. I'm guessing it'll be some sort of a free agent signing in March. And then whether it's a draft pick or an undrafted free agent, you know, come draft time. So you're going to have two new punters in there. A little bit surprised they just didn't have him, you know, punt it off with somebody in training camp again this year. But I guess they saw all they needed to see, you know, within the last 3 years. And they said, let's just get on with it in February.
You know? Yeah. You know what? The funny thing about that, Ray, is like, you know, it would make sense, right, to the average person being like, yeah, just it doesn't cost you much. He's a seventh round rookie on his rookie deal. Like, just bring him back. But Presley Harvin has now fooled I think a bunch of people twice, where he's come in, done well in preseason, done well in training camp, and then even like last year, game two for the Steelers, game like 2 through 5, he was punting well, and was like, maybe he fixed it. Then the rest of the year came, and he was back to being Presley Harvin the third. And I think that's what the Steelers are like. Listen, we're getting off this roller, this merry-go-round. We're not doing this anymore. We're going to take a new chance at it. And you know, that's no slight against Presley Harvin for the effort that he's tried. It just, he didn't work out. It wasn't good. You got to move on as an organization. But the other thing that we look at this is that with these moves, what are the next moves that you think are going to accompany these cuts? Because these are the obvious ones. Yeah. But then there aren't obvious ones. There's some people, you know, they might have strong feelings towards, well, they got to cut Mason Cole, and they got to cut Patrick Peterson and other guys that would free up a considerable amount of salary cap space. What are the next moves you see coming, or you're waiting to see what direction they go?
Well, Allen Robinson is automatic.
Well, he's another automatic. You're right.
I don't know why that didn't go down on Monday, but to me, that's the next easiest one, so to speak. That'll be another, I think, $10 million in cap space that they'll free up. But you mentioned the other two, Patrick Peterson, Mason Cole, and of course, Cam Hayward. He's not, I don't think they're going to cut him, but there's that whole song and dance that has to take place with him and negotiating that cap hit down, however they do that, whether it's just a whole new contract where he takes a pay cut, or maybe they extend him and, you know, spread out that cap hit. However that gets done, that's also going to free up a lot of money. So, you know, once Robinson gets done, they'll be in the red, you know, they'll be, positive on the cap sheet, and then they can continue to, free up money as free agency approaches here. So, Peterson's due a big roster bonus, I think $3 million or $4 million. I know we talked about this right after the season, Chris, but I think his days as an outside corner are over. Yeah. I think his best fit in the secondary is as a free safety and not a strong safety. And you have Minkah Fitzpatrick. I don't know how you allocate almost $10 million in a cap hit to have him on your roster. So
yeah, it's tough.
For me, that's a no-brainer, but I don't know how the Steelers are going to approach that, or, you know, what their thinking is on that.
No, I agree. That is a tough look there. And listen, with approximately, you know, what they've done so far, with, you know, with just looking at the cuts that they've made, they, you know, like you said, they're just shy of being officially under the cap. But if they were to cut, Allen Robinson today, that would put, like, that would put them in the clear there. And I think that would put them around having $6.7 million of cap space, but that's not nearly enough to sign who you need to sign. And so, you know, for this offseason, I think, like you said, they might need another outside corner to pair with Joey Porter Jr., even if they think they're getting a good one in the draft, or that Corey Trice comes back. I think they need to make sure that they at least have some guy out there, because they don't have Levi Wallace anymore. Not that Levi Wallace was some shutdown corner, but he was a veteran body who you could throw out there, and they don't even have that right now, who's a proven guy who knows the Steelers defense and can work that. So if you added, say, a Patrick Peterson and a Mason Cole to that list, that gets you to about, according to overthecap.com, about $18.3 million of cap space, with Robinson, Okorafor, Peterson, Trubisky, and Cole and Harvin all let go from the Steelers. But $18.3 million goes really fast in free agency and in re-signing players that you need to bring back. Granted, they don't have a ton of those this year, because they've kind of handled that part already. What is there a number that you think the Steelers need to get to be in a comfortable place for this free agency period to have enough space to sign guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think they can get to 35 or 50 million easily. And we didn't even talk about restructures yet, where they'll give money up front to some of their vets that are on solid contracts, that, you know, guys like T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, guys they know they're going to pay that money anyway. They'll just give them that money up front, and then they'll get the cap relief here, this year. And Minkah would fit that bill as well. Although I think Minkah might have already restructured. I think they could easily get the 35 or 40 million. Chris, I know there are teams that have 100 million in cap space. The Steelers aren't going to do that. They don't need to do that. They've never – been big spenders in free agency. Omar and Andy want to build through the draft, but they do have to fill in some holes. It's unfortunate. They are in a position where they do have to spend money in free agency to fill some of the holes that are on their roster. They're going to have to do that again this year. I don't think they're going to sign a record number of free agents like they did last year, but they are going to have to sign a few, you know, to make up for some of those past mistakes.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to make some sort of moves there. I think outside corner, safety, you know, maybe linebacker if they're not comfortable with the injuries that were sustained at that position this past year. You know, I think, you know, we've talked about on this show the potential of Larry Ogunjobi. You know, as much as, you know, he's a veteran, that guy's going to be a $13 million cap hit next season. You need more than from a guy that's getting paid that much than what you got this past year. So there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered that we'll keep an eye on as the Steelers move toward free agency, about a month away now from when that kicks off. But the last thing we wanted to talk about was they did extend coach, running back coach Eddie Faulkner, who stepped in as an offensive coordinator along with Mike Sullivan at the end of last season. Ray, what do you think that Eddie Faulkner has done to kind of earn this extension to stick with the Steelers? What have you seen from him that has boosted the Steelers staff?
Yeah, I think he's a good football coach. And just because he wasn't promoted to offensive coordinator doesn't detract from what he is as a running backs coach. So I think he's a guy who his career is on the upswing. And I think it's a positive sign that Arthur Smith got to know him over the last week or two. And he said, yeah, you know, stay on board. We'll make it work. I want to work with you. So that always happens when a new coordinator comes in. Sometimes he'll bring in his own guys like Smith did. He made three or four hires of his own. But there was also holdovers that the head coach likes, and Mike Tomlin likes Eddie Faulkner, and Arthur Smith agrees that he's a good coach. So, you know, I think something is still brewing similarly with Mike Sullivan. I think he's going to come back in some way. I think they're still working through that. So we'll see if that happens as well. But, yeah, I think he's a good football coach. And I think, you know, Arthur Smith made a smart move by retaining him on his staff.
I think it is a smart move too. Eddie Faulkner has done a good job, I think, with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren and what they've been able to do at running back. And like I think Mike Tomlin said when they made him the offensive coordinator, as far as the guy that sets the room, he's great at organizing the offense and getting everyone on the same page. When you have a guy like that on your staff, you keep them around because that you need leaders in your coaching staff to kind of make sure that tone is set. And it always helps having more guys on the staff who can support the head coach and the coordinators at those spots by being other leaders who can say, hey, this is the plan this week. Let's stick to it. Let's attack it this way. So I do think I'm right with you. I think Eddie Faulkner is a good decision to keep around. Who else might they keep around? We'll keep you updated with that here and a lot more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Chris Carter. He's Rayford Apollo. Read all of our written work at post-gazette.com, including our first interactive NFL draft big board where we've ranked all the different positions and give you breakdowns on who those players are and how they fit the Steelers' needs. We'll be back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.